Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
October 11th, 2005, the Digital Story Show, to shoot a bottle. Today's subject is going to be existing light photography. I use existing light photography quite a bit for models, indoor people shots, things like that. But I also like to use it for products, for things, for objects, such as a bottle. Actually, a bottle isn't so much the point of it all, any more than a sphere is in a sketching class. But a bottle is a good way to practice your existing light photography, to get your lighting set up together, and to come away with some very good techniques. Now, once you have these techniques down, you can apply them to the stuff that you're selling on eBay, to other projects that you have on the web. It's very useful. Why existing light photography? Simple. You don't have to mess with light stands, umbrellas, softboxes, strobes, flashes, all that stuff. Basically, you just find a natural light source, maybe an open window, and you set up your little studio, a couple reflectors, and off you go. That's it. Put your camera on a tripod, you're in business. Before I actually get to the technique itself, I want to tell a short story that sort of leads up to it. I work for O'Reilly Media. I'm in the online division. We have four divisions, actually. And one of the other divisions is called Make Magazine. You might have heard of it, actually. It's a do-it-yourself magazine. It's a terrific publication. You can get it on the newsstands, and you can order it through O'Reilly Media, O'Reilly.com. So every issue, when they get close to deadline, they usually are scrambling for the last couple shots. And every now and then, they'll give me a call and say, can you come up and, you know, shoot this or that? In this case, the other day, it was actually a bottle. You thought I was just making up the whole bottle thing. Well, no. They really needed some shots of bottles. A pretty green one and a red Tabasco bottle. They're pretty cool. So the note that I got, actually I got an IM when I was working in my studio, said, you know, could you bring softbox and a couple light stands and some strobes and shoot these bottle shots? We have something in mind. Well, I was kind of busy that day, actually. And the thought of schlepping half my studio over to the Make Magazine office wasn't very appealing. Now, I had been there before, and they have excellent lighting in that room. They have a big bank of windows that face north. And this is one of the key things about existing light photography, is finding a good natural light source. They had one. I knew it. So what I said is, why don't you do this? Why don't you set up your seamless backdrop, which is could be a photographer's paper. You can use butcher's paper, too. Just a big roll of white paper. And you set it up as we call a sweep. That means you kind of nail it to the wall, and then as it comes down to the floor, you make a bit of a gentle curve. And the reason why you make a sweep is because you don't want any sharp angles in the background. You want your objects to appear as if they're floating. So I described how to set this whole thing up, and I said, make sure you have a few reflectors there for me also. So, and then I'll be up with my camera about 2 o'clock. Now, this is really a great way to go, because all I had to take over to the Make offices was my camera, a 50 millimeter lens, and I'll explain more about that in a moment, a tripod, and a remote release, which I actually have attached to my camera strap anyway. That's it. No light stands, no umbrellas, no strobes, none of that stuff. Just my little camera bag that I have in a, it's actually a small backpack, and my tripod, which I've had forever. I really like using the Bogan 3021 tripod. And the reason why I like those sticks, as we photographers say, is because the legs are adjustable where you can open them up very wide. You can open them very wide and get the tripod low to the ground. And this is a very useful thing because a lot of times when people are setting up your studio, such as the one at Make Magazine, they usually, you know, put a box on the ground and then they have the backdrop come down off the wall and sweep down onto the box, and everything's set up about 18 inches from the floor. So unless you want to shoot down on all of your objects, which isn't really a good idea, you need to get low also. And so this Bogan tripod, the 3021, has legs that open up all the way, and you can get the camera just a few inches from the floor. It's really, really useful. I've had it forever. They just last and last and last. They're terrific tripods. And there are other models that do this also. I just happen to be using that one for the last, 20 years, and they still make them. Anyway, tripod in hand, camera, and off I went. So I went upstairs, and I could tell they were looking at me like, all right, you don't have any lights. And they showed me a sample of the shot that they wanted. And, you know, it was done. It was in a magazine, and it had a very nice kind of soft box reflection in the bottle. It was a good-looking shot. I liked it, actually. So I said, all right, great. So I went to work, and I started with the green bottle. And by the way, this shot will be in the show notes with an explanation of the technique. So you can hop over to thedigitalstory.com, www.digitalstory.com, and see the picture of the bottle that I'm talking about, and also have some written information about the technique itself. Because if you're listening to this in your car, it's very hard to take notes while you're driving, and I would just actually prefer that you don't. So anyway, the digitalstory.com show notes for pictures and a little bit of technical information. So anyway, so here I had the green bottle in hand, and they had a pretty nice sweep set up. I liked it. And they had a few reflectors, basically white paper taped onto cardboard, which works just fine, and light coming in from the north window. Beautiful day. Not too bright, not too dark. Really good for shooting. So I set the bottle on top of the platform with a white background behind it. And the light was pretty much coming over my shoulder. So I had to kind of angle my camera so I wasn't shooting straight on to the bottle, because my body would be blocking the light, and that's not such a good thing. But since the backdrop was big enough, I could kind of scooch a little bit to the side, let the light come through, and still have plenty of white backdrop so that there wasn't anything showing other than white around the bottle. So it was looking pretty good. I set the camera on the tripod, and I mentioned earlier that I use a 50 millimeter lens for these, sometimes an 85 millimeter lens. It depends on what I'm shooting, sometimes a wider lens. But the reason why I like these is because you can get a 50 millimeter f1.8 lens for less than $100. Now, in the world of glass, that's pretty good. I had this lens mounted on a Canon Digital Rebel XT. It's the latest Digital Rebel. It's a nice little camera, actually. I use it a lot. And so I put the lens on the camera, and now I have a nice bright lens. The good thing about an f1.8 lens is that it lets lots of light in, so that when you're doing existing light photography, you have a lot more light to work with. The problem with a lot of zoom lenses, in my opinion, is that I like them for shooting outdoors in regular daylight because they're very versatile. I mean, you can change the focal lengths, no problem. But the problem with them is that they usually aren't what we call fast lenses. In other words, the maximum aperture would be something like f5.6 a lot of times, which is quite different than F1.8. F5.6 lets in much less light than F1.8. So when you're doing existing light photography, you want to let as much light through the lens as possible. And that's why I really like that 50 millimeter F1.8. So I set it up, and I put it on about F5.6 because I wanted to, what we call, stop it down a little bit so that I had some depth of field. And I'm not going to do a whole depth of field lesson today, but I will be talking about it more in the future. But basically, it goes like this. The more you stop down the lens, in other words, the smaller you make the aperture, go from F4 to 5.6 is stopping down, F5.6 to F8 is stopping down. The more you stop down the aperture, the more depth of field you have. Okay? So, you know, you want to stop it down a little bit when you're doing close-up photography or shooting small objects because your depth of field isn't very great and you don't want, you know, part of your object to get soft, you know, a little bit out of focus unless that's your purpose, unless you're trying to create an effect. So even though I have this nice bright lens, which makes it easy to focus and gives me lots of options, I still want to stop it down a little bit from F8. To F5.6, so I have a little bit of depth of field to work with. So I mounted the camera on the tripod, set the lens to about F5.6, and composed my shot. And now there's a couple things at this point that you need to know about existing light photography to really make it work. For instance, a lot of times you'll be shooting against a white backdrop. And the reason why we like to shoot against white is because later on you can just drop out the background altogether and just have the object placed on the page. It's really, really handy. Whereas if you have some sort of graduated backdrop or, you know, something that had mixed colors or whatever, that's much more difficult to separate from the object itself. So, you know, if you use other types of backdrops, a lot of times you're kind of stuck with them. Whereas with white, you can just take the backdrop right out and put the object right on the page, or right on the website. It's really kind of cool. So I had it all set up on white. I was ready to go. Put the camera on the tripod. And the tripod is very important for existing light photography, especially for product photography, because you want the camera to be very steady. You might think that you have rock-solid hands and arms, but when you're shooting indoors, you don't. And there's a little bit of camera movement when you make the exposure. By putting it on a tripod, you're going to get a much sharper image. And the reason why you're going to get a sharper image, granted that you focus correctly, is because the camera doesn't move during exposure, so you won't get any camera shake at all. It's really a really smart way to go for this type of shooting. Now, if you're shooting a model, if you're shooting a person, then a little bit of softness isn't such a bad thing, right? In fact, sometimes in portrait photography, the pictures can be too sharp and they show, you know, too much detail, too much skin texture and so forth. So, you know, handheld photography makes more sense when you're shooting people. When you're shooting objects, though, really try to use a tripod as much as possible. Get them as sharp as possible. And then that way you don't have to do post-processing sharpening, which isn't as good as just getting it right when you take the picture. So put it on a tripod. Now, if you don't have a remote release, if you don't have some way to trip the shutter without actually pushing the shutter button, then I recommend that you use a self-timer. Okay, and self-timer is really handy for this sort of stuff. Some cameras even have a 2-second self-timer, which is nice because you can trip the self-timer and then you don't have to wait for 10 seconds. Now, right now, 10 seconds doesn't sound like a long time, but if you're shooting a lot of shots, having to wait 10 seconds for each exposure is a long time and it adds up and it can frustrate you. But the cameras that have 2-second exposures are pretty cool and they make using the self-timer a lot easier. The best way to go, however, is if you have a remote release. And I have a little infrared one. It's terrific. I just have to put it on, you know, release mode, so to speak. I press the button. It lifts up the mirror. And then about 2 seconds later, it fires the shutter. So it gives me a very steady, sharp shot. I don't have to worry about jarring the camera with my finger when I press the shutter button. And I don't have to wait for a long time like you do sometimes with a self-timer. However, I don't want to diss the self-timer too much because a self-timer is a really good backup plan if you don't have a remote release. So either use a release or the self-timer, and you're good to go. So that's kind of all the physical stuff. But now there are a couple other settings that you need to keep in mind. First of all, since the camera's on a tripod, it's going to be very steady, keep your ISO set at 100 or less. Some cameras allow you to set it at 50. There's no need, even though it's existing light photography, to bump up the ISO. All that's going to do is increase your chance of having image noise. And since you don't really care how long the exposure is, right, because your bottle isn't going to be moving, then there's no need to jack up the ISO. So keep your ISO at 100. Now, as I was saying earlier, shooting on a white backdrop, now that's going to throw off your camera meter, okay? What it's going to do is your camera meter is going to read that white backdrop, and it's going to try to change it to a shade of gray because that's what they're calibrated for. So the thing that I recommend is I usually find myself having to use exposure compensation and adding about 2 stops, actually, to exposure compensation. So you're going to overexpose your shot by about 2 stops. And you can start with 1 stop and take a look at it, but I bet you you'll be pushing that thing up to 2 really fast. And what that will do is that will make your whites white, and it will also properly expose your subject. So exposure compensation is very important when you're shooting against a white backdrop. Now, just for the record, if you're shooting against a black backdrop, you have just the opposite problem. And what you need to do in that case is probably underexpose your picture by a stop, maybe a stop and a half, because the camera's going to try to change the black to a shade of gray also, because, again, that's what exposure meters do. So when you're shooting against a black backdrop, you have to underexpose by a stop or more. And when you're shooting against a white backdrop, you'll find yourself usually having to overexpose by about 2 stops. Now, there's one more setting here that you have to use to make sure that you get a really nice shot right out of the shoot. And that has to do with white balance. You have to use the white balance setting. The reason why is that when you're shooting with a light coming through a window or you're shooting in the shade, the light gets sort of bluish. It's just a color temperature shift. It's a different temperature than when you're shooting out in the sun. So you might not notice it at first, but if you really look at the white in your shot, you'll see that it has a little bit of a bluish cast to it. Now, the way to get rid of that cast is to change your white balance setting to cloudy. So go to cloudy, and that will, in most cases, that will correct that bluish cast and give you a very nice clean white. It should look really good, okay? So I just want to kind of review these settings for a second. All right, you want to set your aperture around f5.6 or even more, f8 if you want. And you can use aperture priority to do that or manual mode. Aperture priority is a little bit easier to use because it automatically sets the shutter speed for you. Okay, you want to use either the self-timer or a remote release to trip the shutter so that your camera stays nice and steady on the tripod. You want to keep your ISO at 100. There's no need to raise your ISO at all. If you're shooting on a white backdrop, you want to increase your exposure using the exposure compensation control by about 2 stops so you get nice clean whites and your shot isn't underexposed. And finally, you want to change the white balance setting to cloudy. And that way, your shot, your tones won't be too cool. It'll warm them up, and actually you should end up with a nice clean white and very accurate colors. Once you have all this set, go ahead and take a shot, take a look at it in the LCD, and I bet you that you're really going to like what you see right out of the shoot. Most people, when they do this type of photography, if they have a problem, it's because they haven't done these settings and they have to fool around for a little while to kind of get to where, you know, I just told you how to get there. Just, you know, so your first exposure should look really good. That's really all there is to it. Now, if you want to kind of add light to the sides of the object, you can use reflectors. And they can be as simple as foam core, a white foam core that you prop up. You can tape paper to cardboard. You can use aluminum foil. And you can, you know, do whatever you want there. And all you do is you know, just kind of take into account where the light source is coming from and bounce that light off the reflector and onto your object. And you can add light into the areas that maybe look a little dark after you do your test exposure. So I did all this for the Make magazine folks. I was up there probably a total of 20 minutes. I took all the shots that they needed, put my camera back in the bag, handed the memory card to the art director there so he could process the photos, and I was out of there in less time than it probably would have taken me to set up the lights. So, you know, existing light photography, especially when you have an area with windows and so forth, is very time efficient. You can work much faster, and the final results are very good. You're not trading anything off. Now, you don't have quite as many lighting options as you do with a soft box, because, you know, with a soft box or an umbrella, you can move it around more. You can't, you know, move your windows around more. But if you just want a straight, good-looking photograph, especially for selling things on eBay, I really, you know, encourage you to give this a try. And it's much easier to use than setting up, you know, hot lights, you know, tungsten bulbs and all that kind of stuff in the corner of the room. A north window, you know, just as the master painters use, is a terrific light source for this kind of photography. So I'm glad you could join me for this. I hope you found this interesting. Again, make sure you check out the show notes for examples, and I'll see you next week. Thanks so much, and take care.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.